Brandela.
Hi, Brandy.
Hey, Hannah. He's not on yet.
Yeah, I figured, but it's early. It's a minute yet.
Yeah.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.
We have the two verses to do today, 13 and 14, in section one of the Parashat Noah. So I will start, or do you want to wait a minute to see if a couple of other people come on board?
Whatever you want to do.
I agree.
Let's wait another minute, and then I'll start with the L'shem Yichud.
Okay.
Okay.
I won't be able to make tomorrow's class. So.
Okay, you mean the this time frame?
Yes, at this time. I have a meeting tomorrow.
Okay. All right. Thank you for the update.
Okay.
Also, we're going to start every day but Shabbat. At 1:30 West Coast time, I'm going to do a Tikkun Rachel for those who want to join us for that. L'shem Yichud Kud Shabarichu Ishkinte Bid Hilur Himud Hilud Hilur Himu Leakta L'shem Yud He Bavavhe Biyuchud Yehuda Shalim B'shem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah La Sok Torah Mitzvah Vayehino Amadunai Eloheinu Alenu Maaseh Yadenu Konenei Alenu Maaseh Yadenu Konenehu La Ma Noach Noach Tirezimne Ela Kol Tzadik B'Tzadik Dim B'Alma Leach Tirein Ruchin Rucha Chad B'Alma Dein V'Rucha Chad Madiatai Vihakai Ishkach Vikalho Sadikai Moshe Moshe Yaakov. Yaakov Avraham Avraham Shemuel, Shemuel, Shem, Shem, Bar Mitzchak, Dilakiti, Veya, Imadikti, Beho, Begin, Deitzak, Beshata, Deit, Kirav, Algabe, Midbecha, Nafkat, Nishmateya, Dahawat, Veya, Bahai Alma the K one Deit Mar Beya the Avraham Baruch Mechaye Hametim Tavat Beya Nishmateya the Alma Deate the Ginda Tishka Ilaiched Kud Shabarihu Shemeya Ela Al Yitzhak begin de itcha shav, gemet vealda ramaz, kirad veamar hein bekucha, bekucha lo yamin vegomer. The translation. Rabbi Elazar asks, why is Noah written twice? And he answers, each and every righteous person in the world has two spirits. One stays in this world while the other is in the world that is coming. And so we find that the Holy One, blessed be He, named all the righteous twice. Moshe, Moshe, Jacob, Jacob, Abraham, Abraham, Samuel, Samuel. With the exception of Isaac, he is not named twice because when he approached the altar to be sacrificed, the soul that was within him in this world left him. And because it is said of Abraham, blessed are you who resurrect the dead, that is, lay not your hand upon the lad, after he had lifted his hand, intending to slay his child. So only the soul of the world that is coming was returned to him. And that is why he is not named twice, Isaac, Isaac. And that is why you shall find that the name of the Holy One, be he, was not unified upon any other righteous person during his lifetime. It was unified only on Isaac, because he was already considered as dead, for he had no soul for this world, only that of the world that is coming. He was like those who pass away from this world. The verse therefore states, behold, he puts no trust in his holy ones, because he does not unify his name on the righteous during their lifetimes. Questions, comments, thoughts? There is a lot to think about in that pasuk.
Well, if he has two souls, is it to ruach or to neshama or to what's the third one?
Well, the word is spirit,
nefesh.
And the third one that you're asking is the nefesh. So, but the word that's being translated is called spirits, which would represent ruach. So he has two ruachim, or ruchot. But you have put your hand on the very significant part of this verse. Because where have you heard that there's two levels of soul? Even in reincarnation classes, they don't say there's two levels of soul. They say there's three, the three levels of soul, but they don't say one is for this world and one is for the world that is coming.
Well, is it when you have an ibor?
But an ibur is different than this. When you have an ibur, you have different people. You have different... It's difficult to explain using the English language or using any physical earthly language. Because when you say soul, or you say ruach, you are describing a level of consciousness. here it's saying that as someone grows spiritually from when they were born, and as they grow spiritually through their mitzvot and in their Torah study, they attain another level of soul, another level of consciousness. And that's what's being expressed here. A righteous person has a level of consciousness to be in this world and to function in this world and have a family and have a job and raise his, and deal with this world. And at the same time, he has a soul, he has a connection, a level of consciousness in dealing with the world that is coming, the higher world, the world of Bina. And there's always this relationship that with the righteous person where these two levels of soul are constantly interacting with each other. But because they always have the possibility of sinning and falling spiritually. And that's why the verse ends by saying, read what it says. At the end of the verse, because he says from Job that Hashem doesn't unify his name on the righteous while they're living in the physical world, because they can always lose the double soul. They can always lose their connection to the higher world. So Hashem puts no trust in his tzaddikim. Now that's not the way other verses speak of it. In other places, it actually says or implies, hints, that Hashem has delegated the control of the physical world to the tzaddikim. So he has a tremendous amount of trust in the tzaddikim. And so this verse is a little difficult to understand. On its surface, it's not. There's these two levels of soul, these two levels of consciousness. But we don't really hear this even in the reincarnation classes. In the reincarnation classes, it says as you grow spiritually, you correct the ruach, and therefore the neshama comes into the body. That doesn't say that a ruach comes into the body, another ruach. Now, as I think it was Brandy who was saying, but isn't what about the Ibur? The Ibur is a different human being. I shouldn't say human being because it's confusing. An Ibur is a soul that is not that person. Someone can be a tzaddik without having any bor. The bor comes for one of two purposes, essentially. One is to borrow the body to do a mitzvah that soul of that's called the bor has to do in order to complete their own tikkun. Or another reason is that Ibur comes so that they will assist the soul who's had reincarnated into that body to achieve its tikkun by giving it additional desire to receive, additional strength, additional courage, additional something that it needs in order to achieve the tikkun. But this verse is not talking about a nibur. That's why it says, it calls the tzaddikim by the same name twice. Remember, the name represents the level of consciousness. It represents the tikkun. It represents many different aspects of who you are.
Are you through?
Say again?
I said, are you finished? I had kind of a different thought on
it. Yes.
And I didn't want to interrupt you.
Good. No, that's fine. I am finished.
Okay. Well, it was the verses or the sentences that say, lay not. And after he had lifted his hand. Okay, where it says, lay not your hand. Well, let me go back a little bit more. And because it was said of Abraham, blessed are you who resurrect the dead. And then in caps, that is, lay not your hand upon the lad. I thought about how when you want to perform a mitzvah, but you're not able to perform that mitzvah, that it's counted to you as if you did perform the mitzvah. And because Isaac was willing to lay his life down, and Abraham was willing to sacrifice his son because he thought that that's what Hashem wanted, that consciousness is what went up to the heavens as if he had died. And of course, we know that there's some commentaries that say that he actually was slain and was resurrected. But that's what came to me as to why his name was only mentioned once, because his intent of being willing to be the sacrifice was the consciousness that went up to the heavens.
It's a good hint. If I say to you now, we're talking about Abraham and Isaac, and I say to you that Avram, before he got the additional hay, Avram is the soul that journeys from the Garden of Eden down into the body.
Right, which is the language of branches with the word Abraham, with the name Abraham.
Right.
Okay.
Right. And when he came, after he was corrected in this world, but not partially corrected, not completely corrected, he becomes Abraham. Now, the full correction is at the binding of Isaac. So for you to say that Isaac was willing to be sacrificed, that's not true. Isaac was so frightened by the knife, as you said, there are many commentaries. There are many midrashim about the binding of Isaac, that some say he was so frightened that his father was bringing the knife down that his soul fled from his body and he actually died. And there are other explanations essentially saying the same thing. And then Abraham, when God stopped him, Abraham resurrected Isaac. And so that's what that verse is implying and hinting to. The reason I'm saying that Isaac would not accept being killed by Abraham, because they both knew that the purpose of their existence was to go against their nature. And so Isaac knew that he had, his nature was to not accept the binding. His nature of judgment and strength and power was to overpower Abraham. His nature was to rise against Abraham. His nature was to be fighting. And knowing that this is his tikkun, he chose to use binding by striking, and he accepted the binding. He accepted being bound on the altar. And he thought, in his mind, that would be sufficient. If he accepts the binding, which means that he accepts dominance by the right column, because his nature is the left column, he achieves his tikkun. And Abraham's nature is not to do violence. Abraham's nature is to get along. Abraham's nature is to love. And so his willingness to sacrifice Isaac is his tikkun. He's going against his nature. But they both knew that what was to happen was to bring the left column into the right column so that the right column would have dominance over the left column. And that's what perfected the world. Now, it's being brought here, this discussion of that Abraham resurrected Isaac, it's being brought here to help us understand this idea that we've never heard before, that there are two levels of soul, two levels of consciousness with the same name, Ruach. One that is corrected, that is the world that is coming, and one that is not yet corrected, which is the one that lives in this world. And these two levels of soul coexist in the same body. And that's why the Torah calls the Tzaddikim by their name twice. Whereas in Isaac's case, that soul that lives in this world that was uncorrected left. And Isaac became complete by accepting the binding. He achieved the complete tikkun by accepting the binding. But what happened at that moment was Sarah no longer needed to be in the physical world, because her role was complete. Her son had been corrected. Her husband had been corrected. There was no reason for her to remain. And if she had remained, she would have found herself having to watch Keturah bear children to Abraham as part of his complete tikkun. So Abraham had the partial tikkun when he bound Isaac, whereas Isaac had the complete tikkun when he accepted the binding. But Isaac never thought he would be killed by his father. And we've discussed that there's words in the Hebrew and even in the English translations that says that Abraham said to the other two people that he was traveling with, that he and the lad would go forward and they would return to them. So he knew that he wasn't going to slay Isaac. he was going to correct himself, and at the same time, Isaac was being corrected. And we learn a lot from that as well, because if you correct yourself, there's always another person who has the opportunity to correct himself. Whether he does or doesn't, that's open to discussion. There's a lot in that pasuk. Should I go on to verse 14?
Hanok, one question or one observation.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Malcolm.
I think with what was just said, I think Isaac's soul, that he did die, because at the same time, wasn't there a vision sent to Sarah, and she died that day, or she died at that moment as well?
Yes, and so the reason that, she died is that her spiritual work was done. So
right.
she no longer needed to be in the world.
Well, I think that just, I mean, confirms for me that Isaac did die, his soul did leave him, because she died as well. So she pretty much saw his death, basically.
But what this verse is saying, that only one part of him died, only the one soul, the soul from this world, died.
Right, that's right, right. But I know that she saw
Yes, and she saw him die, what she thought was death. But we've never defined death Kabbalistically.
Right.
What is death? The soul leaves the body. But,
yeah,
you know, there's brain death, there's heart death, there's, you know, the body is, you know, we hook people up to machines and they're still living, aren't they? Not really.
Right.
The body is there, but the soul isn't. And we get into very deep discussions about, you know, what happens if you transplant parts of your body into other human beings. Are those souls going into those people? And the answer is yes. You know, if you take a kidney, whatever part of your soul that is the kidney goes into another person, and it affects and impacts that person that has this new kidney. And how do they change themselves? You know, we've seen stories about people who, you know, were horrible human beings, but once they had a transplant from some good person who had died in a traffic accident, they changed and started to become good. And we've seen the reverse, where a good person gets a kidney transplant from a person who dies in the having lived 30 years as a condemned murderer on death row. And how that person then has become not as good. So we know that the soul is being transferred when the body part gets transferred.
Is that the same also for, like, if you give your corneas away for your eyes?
Absolutely. Your cornea has part of your...
Go ahead. Hello? Hello? Did we lose
I
you?
I hear you.
I think we lost them.
Hello?
We lost them.
That's one of those universe questions they don't want answered.
That's right.
You remember when we did this, Brandy, you remember when we did the seven prophetesses study? And there was a link, between Sarah. Okay.
We got disconnected. But what I was saying, Brandy, is what I'm saying is your cornea is one of the parts, one of the 248 parts of the body. And it has one of the 248 parts of your soul. And
so
if it is still living, that soul is still within it. So when it gets transferred over to somebody else, that part of your soul goes with it. And that's the whole discussion that the rabbis have about
organ transplant.
You know, transplanting. And yet there is an accepted ruling by an Orthodox group of rabbis that say it's okay to transplant. They're not Kabbalists, but they say it's okay. And so, you know, that I'm a donor. I have a donor card from that Orthodox group.
What about blood? What if someone gives you their blood?
You're getting the nefesh level of soul.
Wow, that's awesome.
Pasuk 14, considering we've just had a half hour on Pasuk. Devar acher ele tol dadot begin dehawa tzadik shabach leya terezim ne tamim haya bedorotav aval Bedarim acharanim ano eno nechshav liklum kimo dara de Avraham vedara de Moshe vedara de David de varacher kamei mai aver Bedara dekalho chayavim kol vachomar ilu chaya Bedara dekalho tzadikim adken. A different explanation given of the words Noah is that because he was righteous, he praised him twice by calling him Noach, that is, perfect in his generations. But if he had lived in any other generation, such as that of Abraham or Moses or King David, then he would not have been considered at all. Still another explanation is that if this is what he was able to perform in a generation in which all were wicked, how much more he could have done in a generation in which all were righteous. The end of the Tosefta. Questions, comments, thoughts?
I think that's been told to us many, many times. That's the explanation that's been given.
It has. But you're also, as you read this, it's saying that Hashem praised Noah by calling him twice, saying his name twice.
but that if he was not, if he had been in a better generation that supported his growth, that he would have been that much more. But then how do you explain Moshe being called twice? How do you explain Samuel being called twice? And how do you explain Isaac only being called once when all of these others are called twice? So there's a lot of questions left unanswered. It's all clear and makes sense at one level, but if you probe a little deeper, it starts to unravel. Doesn't mean that it's wrong. It just means that there's deeper questions to ask, as always.
Well, we don't hear too much about Isaac after this. I mean, his life is a little bit more subdued in the Torah than Abraham and Jacob.
Well, yes, I understand what you're saying, but actually, no. Everything that happened to Abraham happens to Isaac.
Well, we don't read it, though. We don't see it as written word.
No. Everything that happened to Abraham, Abraham is told to go out of his country, out of his father's house, and that famous Lech Lecha. But that's the beginning of Abraham's journey. Isaac, he comes into the land of Israel. Abraham comes into the land of Israel, and immediately he has a famine, and he has to go down to Egypt. Well, Isaac has the same famine, but God says, no, don't leave the country. And the explanation is that he was a burnt offering because he died on the altar. And so he was too holy to go outside of the country. And as we will discover in reading the goodness of the land of Israel, what happens to someone who dies in Israel, their soul goes directly to that opening in the firmament, where all the Shefa flows through. And so for a burnt offering to be taken out of the land, it's not the same soul that goes down into Egypt that is living in Israel. And it's a little complicated to explain as we're talking now, because you don't have the background yet in reading that the goodness of the land of Israel. But if you go there, Abraham, Sarah was taken captive and was given to Pharaoh, and God protected her from being ravaged. And Rivka is taken by it's not Malkut Tzedek, it's another king in Israel. So everything that happened to Abraham while living in Israel happens to Isaac. Yes, it's on a more subdued level. It's not as dramatic. It's not as chaotic. And the language of the Torah presents it that way, less chaotic. What does that tell us? It tells us that the world that is coming after the Mashiach, things are going to be less chaotic. They're going to be less dramatic. In some sense, they're going to be downright boring. But you'll have the whole picture and a cause and effect of all of your lives to contemplate, so that you don't need the excitement anymore. That's just one opinion being expressed.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that happens to Abraham while they were living in Israel or going down to Egypt also happens to Isaac. Abraham dug the 5 or 7 wells. Isaac has to redig the 7 wells. But then he digs an 8th well that they never stop up. So you can see how everything is there if you ever compare the stories item by item. Any other questions or comments? Tonight's class, the 7 o'clock West Coast time class, is going to be, I decided to do a little more study on the 3-week period, so we'll do that a little bit more tonight. And then tomorrow, being the 4:30 class, will be a continuation. We'll go into section 2 of Noah for our mini Zohar class. And the 7 o'clock class will be a questions and answers. And depending on how long that takes, we will start the study of the Third Temple. Shalom to all.
Thank you. Shalom.
Thank you.
Shalom. Shalom.